Peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to the sixth season of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I want to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's holy word. And right now we want to get right into God's word, so let's go.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, last week we looked at the Holy Spirit, and for the remaining 3 weeks of our series, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit acts in the world and in us. Today we examine two phrases. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, and we're going to see just how they are both related, and also how they are related to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. Before we continue, let us prepare our hearts and minds to receive this holy word. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, to you all things are known, and all mysteries are revealed. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us today, that we may know as we are known, that we may discern all things that are good and beneficial to our faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the blessings of being in pastoral ministry for me has been participating in the Pensgrove, Carneys Point, / Olmans Township ministerium. And the ministerium is a collection of pastors who come together from different faiths, different backgrounds, and different creeds, really different denominations of Christianity, really. And we do some combined ministry, particularly the Good Friday service at New Hope United Methodist Church is a service that is put on by the ministerium. The ministerium also puts on the baccalaureate for the graduating seniors at Pensgrove High School. So there's a lot of things that the ministerium does. And what I've noticed, though, over the past few years is that the participation of the ministerium has begun to dwindle, as it were, and until it comes down to maybe four or five of us to gather once a month at the talk of the town and talk about things of ministry, things of importance to us. A few of us gather every Wednesday for prayer meetings. But what concerned me was, or what struck me was, that, like I said, over the past few years, we've seen the membership of the ministerium begin to dwindle. And so this year, I sort of wanted to take a look at that. We have a new pastor in Penns Grove at New Hope United Methodist Church, a young pastor who just graduated from seminary, just turned 30 years old, very young, and very ambitious, full of energy. I want to draw on his energy, you know? And so I wanted to make sure that he was participating in the clergy breakfast that happens every month with the United Methodist pastors, and also with the ministerium that happens every month, and the prayer group. So as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about all the churches. Well, how many churches are we talking about in Penns Grove, Carneys Point, Olmans Township? I know that there's 5 churches in Olmans Township. I pastor 40% of them. And so I never get tired of saying that. There's 5 churches in Olmans Township. There's the 2 Methodist churches, the 2 Baptist churches, and one church you might not think about. It's called the Church of Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's on 130. It's like right on the border of Olmans Township, but it's right inside the right before you get to Carneys Point. Then I went to look at the churches in Carneys Point and Penns Grove, and I thought, I'll put together a little directory of all the churches, their addresses, who's the pastor, any contact information, phone numbers, you know, if there's an email address or something, if they have a Facebook page, and put it all together in one little directory. I figured it would take up one page. Much to my surprise, I found that there are actually 22 churches in Carneys Point and Penns Grove. 22 churches. And I thought, my goodness, we only have 4 or 5 people who come out the second Wednesday of the month for breakfast. Where are all these other churches? Where's all this other representation? You know? And so I brought it up at the meeting this week, and the response was, well, first of all, we used to have participation from the Presbyterian Church, Union Presbyterian Church. Their senior pastor, they could no longer afford to have a full-time senior pastor, and so what they've been doing ever since then is they've been having guest ministers come in. So obviously they're not participating. They still participate in the ministerium in that they host the Wednesday night Lenten Bible studies, and so that's great. There's the Assembly of God Church. Keith Holt is the pastor there. He comes out every once in a while, and he participates. And then there's the Episcopal Church. Petrina Pyatt was the mother there, and she retired, and we have not had any contact with her replacement. And so there's a large portion of our ministerium right there. It's 3 out of the 7 or 8 churches that were participating. But what about the other ones? Where are the other ones? You know? And so the response that I got was, well, a lot of them, they have their own thing going. They don't want to participate. They don't want to, you know, water down their own ministry because they hold the truth, right? They hold the truth in their church, you know? The whole world is going to hell, but that one church is an island unto itself, you know? And I thought about this as I was preparing the message this week. Why do we profess faith in, or why do we profess a belief in one holy Catholic church? I don't want to get too into the actual meaning of the word Catholic. If you look at the hymnal, it says that Catholic means universal. Okay, that's not quite true. What the word Catholic really means is basically all of us together. It's basically what that word means. It means all of us together as one. So there are what we would call two churches, the visible and the invisible. Okay. Now, the visible church is what we see on street corners. In Auburn, we have Ebenezer United Methodist Church. In Pedricktown, there's the Baptist Church, is a visible church. The Hudson United Methodist is a visible church. That's the visible church. We see these buildings, we see these different denominations, and that is what we see, the visible church. But there's also what we call the invisible church. The invisible church is the fullness of the body of Christ, all of us in one, all of us together, all of us all around the world, worshiping the same God, saved by the same Lord Jesus Christ, you know, with the same Holy Spirit acting in each of us. You know, we read that in the reading in Romans today, that the same Spirit is working in each of us. Whether we call ourselves Methodist or Baptist, or if we say we're from the Assembly of God, or Lutheran, or Catholic, or whatever it is, we all worship the same God. We are all saved by the same Lord. We all have the same creed, really. We all profess faith in this Apostles' Creed that we're going through step by step. And it is that faith that draws us all together as one. And that is what we call the invisible church. The invisible church is all Christians everywhere, all around the world. 2.2 billion people who profess faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation, for forgiveness. So that's how we can profess faith in one church. I want to look at this phrase. The phrase is, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, I remember when I was in confirmation class, my pastor took great pains to point out that the C in Catholic is not capitalized. It's a lowercase C, because it's not the Holy Roman Catholic Church, you know. It's the Catholic Church, and he explained it the way the hymnal explains it. It's the universal church, or what we would call the invisible church. Okay? If you look at verse 18, Jesus says, I tell you that you are Peter. Now, Peter is, he's renaming, he's giving Peter a new name and a new identity, which he does for each of us at our baptism. He gives us a new identity when we are reborn in his name. But he says, you are Peter. He says, your name was Simon. And we've talked about this before. Simon, or Shimon, is a Hebrew word which means a pebble. And where do you find pebbles? Especially in places where, or in times when people would wear open sandals. You know, where do you find a pebble? In your shoe, under your foot, irritating the heck out of you, right? Drives me crazy when I'm walking around in sandals during the summer, which I love to do because I like the feel of the air on my feet. It's great. But then a pebble gets in there, and that one pebble just, it's like it totally ruins my walk, you know? And so I have to stop, I take off my shoe, shake out the pebble, you know? Nobody wants a pebble in their shoe. Well, that's what his name means. His name means pebble. But now Jesus says, you're no longer pebble, okay? You're no longer that irritating pebble, Simon. Now I'm going to call you Peter, or Petros, rock. You're a rock, okay? Now, a rock doesn't get into your shoe. God help you if it does. But a rock doesn't get into your shoe. A rock is what you build a foundation with. When you build a stone house, you see some of these gray stone churches and everything, and every church has a cornerstone. Most buildings in antiquity used to have a cornerstone, and that cornerstone was like a representation of the foundation of that building. You know, and when that cornerstone was laid, is usually a date on that cornerstone. You know, well, he says to Peter, you're no longer that annoying pebble, Peter. You are the rock. And he says, on this rock, I will build my church. Now, he's not necessarily saying that he's going to build his church just on Peter. Okay, he has 12 disciples. But what he's saying is, because Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He professed his faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is the rock on which Jesus Christ builds the foundation of the church. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So understand that the church universal, nothing can come against it, because it is, as we were singing in the hymn today, it's the bride of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. And what does the bridegroom do for his bride? He protects her. He provides for her. He takes care of her. He is the head of the household. And so Jesus is the head of the church. And he builds his foundation on a faith in him. Because in John 3:16 it says that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so it's the one and only holy. Now, to say that we profess faith in the holy Catholic Church is to say that the church itself is holy. What makes the church holy is not the people in it. What makes the church holy is the Holy Spirit in that church. The Holy Spirit in that church is what makes the church holy. And I don't mean this particular church or any church in particular, but again, I'm speaking of the universal or the invisible church. The invisible church. What makes the church holy is the act of the Holy Spirit, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit in each of us. And we're going to revisit that a little bit when we come to the communion of saints. But the Nicene Creed says, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And what does that mean, apostolic? It means that in an unbroken line, backwards through time, in an unbroken line all the way back to the very beginning, to the very first followers of Jesus Christ, we can trace our roots, the roots of this church, can be traced all the way back to the very apostles of Christ. Now, the apostles were the ones who were the 12, as it were, who followed Jesus in his earthly ministry. They were students. They were disciples. They sat at his feet. They listened to his teaching. Every time he stopped and he taught the crowds, when he was preaching his Sermon on the Mount, they were the ones right at his feet listening. They were the ones who gathered around him at the table when he gave them their marching orders in the Last Supper, when he broke the bread and said, "This is my body given for you." When he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." They were the ones who sat right there at the table with him and broke bread with him. And they went everywhere he went for 3.5 years. And they're in an unbroken chain between them and us today. The faith of the church has been built upon their faith and the faith of those he taught, and the faith of those who were taught by them, on and on and on, down through the ages, until it comes to us. That's what we mean when we say that it is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. And we say we affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. That's in the Nicene Creed also. One baptism. It means if you're baptized in the Methodist church, or if you're baptized in a Baptist church, or if you're baptized in the Catholic church, or if you're baptized in the Lutheran church or the Presbyterian church, it doesn't matter. You're baptized into one faith with one baptism. That's why we in the United Methodist Church don't profess a faith in multiple baptisms. I've been approached over the years by different adults who said, "Well, I don't remember being baptized as a child. I want to be baptized again." Well, we don't do that. And why? Because the baptism is not about, it's not about what we're doing. It's not about what we're professing. Obviously, a child, a baby can't profess faith in God, in Jesus Christ. But it's what God is doing in that child's life. It's what God is doing through the Holy Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of that child and says, "You are mine. You are mine." You know? And the parents of that child are saying, "This child we dedicate to God." You know? It's all about what God is doing, and it's not about what we're doing or what we profess faith in. Many adults have been baptized, and yet they still go out and they backslide. They go out and they sin again. It doesn't mean that once you're baptized or once you're born again, that you're never going to sin again. I mean, even in the letter of John, the first epistle of John, he says, if we say that we are without sin, we call him a liar. You know, if we are faithful, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and true to forgive our sins and to remove from us all iniquity. So, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And that's what it means when we say that I believe in the holy Catholic church. The church is not holy because we are holy. The church is holy because of the Holy Spirit in us. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Whether we divide ourselves by denomination, whether we have differences of theology, if you really look hard at the differences of our theology, most of them are inconsequential to our salvation. And so what it really means is we are all joined together by the Holy Spirit in one universal, one invisible church. Then we come to the communion of saints. And I want to read, now I know how much you love language lessons, right? Right? But I want to read for you these three phrases in the Latin, okay? Because this is what the creed was originally written in, was in the Latin. The communion of saints. So we come to the part where we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints. Okay? Now listen to those three phrases in the Latin. Credo in Spiritum Sanctum, Sanctum Ecclesiam Catholicam, Sanctorum Communiam. You see the difference? You see the same word in there three times, and that's sanctum, which is a form of sanctorum. Sanctum, sanctam, and sanctorum, they're all forms of the same word, which we translate as either holy or saints. Okay? Sanctorum communionem means the communion of the saints. Communion of the saints. So, what is this telling us, and why do we care? Because again, being a saint doesn't mean we're good people. Doesn't mean we're great people. You know, even the greatest among us, even the most holy, as it were, among us, still struggle with sin. We still have moments of temptation, and sometimes we even fall into temptation. Okay, being holy doesn't mean, we often equate the word holy with goodness, don't we? We often say, oh, that guy's a real holy person. You know, you look at the Pope, oh, he must be really, really holy, you know, but he struggles too. He's a human being. We all have struggles. We all have shortcomings, as it were. What makes us holy is not our goodness. What makes us holy is the Holy Spirit, again, acting in us. And so what makes us saints is that we are sanctified. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, once we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, once we come to that place where we can say Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, once we come to that place, then the Holy Spirit comes into us and begins to sanctify us, begins to change us, begins to radically change us from what we were, which was worldly and carnal, into what we can be, which is more Christ-like, day by day. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. We are not perfect, and we won't be until we come to that place where we finally get rid of this this flesh that holds us down. We stand in the presence of God, and then we shall be as He is. We shall see each other as we are seen, because we shall see Him as He is. The communion of saints means literally that down through the ages, the faith of Christ has been handed down through generation after generation after generation. And I think about the people who, sometimes there are people who are like first generation Christians. Like they have never believed in Jesus Christ before. Their parents never took them to church. Their grandparents never took them to church. And they never believed in Jesus Christ until something happens in their lives. And they are transformed, and they profess faith in Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit enters into them. Well, that's a brand new branch on this tree, on this tree of saints, as it were. So on down through the ages, in an unbroken line, we have this faith that has been handed down to us from the apostles of Christ to their disciples, and then their disciples, and then their disciples, on down to us. Think about this church. This church has been around for 225 years, 228 years now. And think about the faith of those who established this church. And we are recipients of that faith. But what was it that caused them to want to build this church? And what gave the faith to Francis Asbury, for example, who preached the sermon and inspired the hearts of the people in this area to build this church? You know, what about John Wesley? And what about John Wesley's father? He was an Anglican priest. And what about all of the people who went on before him? What about the reformers? What about all of those who gave their lives for the truth of the Bible? What about all of those who stood for the faith of Christ? We are recipients of their faith. We have, in an unbroken line back to Jesus Christ Himself, can trace the roots of our faith. And so that's what it means when we say that we profess belief in the communion of saints. So what we are affirming when we affirm our belief in the Holy Catholic Church is that the Holy Spirit is at work in all of us, regardless of denomination, regardless of the songs we sing, or the way we worship, or the language that we speak. All of us are tied together in one body of Christ. It's not God's Spirit that makes us focus on our differences, but it's our sinful human nature that does that. It's Christ Himself that said that the gates of hell would not and shall not prevail against the church He established, beginning with the apostles and handed down through the ages to us gathered here. We are all recipients and benefactors of that one faith, baptized into one church, all praying to and worshiping one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit. And it's for this reason that we rejoice when others come to Christ, no matter where they identify their faith. Because right now, all around this area, all across the county, all across this nation of ours, all around the world, there are worshipers participating in the faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of mankind. We are holy because God is holy, and His Holy Spirit is at work in us. And that is what makes us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we give You great thanks for drawing us together in this place to worship and adore You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Holy Spirit lives in us and acts in us to bring us together from many backgrounds and many different families and home lives. We are all so different and yet one in the Spirit. By Your Spirit, we are made one. Send us now into the world to share our faith with others. Draw others to You through faith in Jesus Christ. Build Your kingdom here on earth, and on that great and glorious day, we may all rejoice in Your presence that brought us all together. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. Now, I have been blessed that God has called me to minister to two churches in rural New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. And if you don't have a church family to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. But if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers where you are. Again, I pray that you have been blessed by this teaching, and I hope that you will join us again next time. God bless you and keep you. Amen.